Last night, the second ITBS meeting out of Alan Shania Klein's. It was a good time. We had, I think, 23 Bible students there that were all anxious to be there and to learn about the Word of God. And so we learned a lot. One thing we learned afterwards was we had that all the potato chips were all gone, but the plate of broccoli was completely untouched. So one thing we learned, I guess there was a fear of broccoli. We don't want to talk about broccoli, but we are going to talk about fear this morning. I thought I'd share some of the study we had last night. The topic was to be strong and courageous. I'd like to talk a little bit about how we might do that this morning, and hopefully we can apply it to our lives and maybe on a more adult level. I'm a fan of Star Wars. And I wanted to specify that this is not from the Bible, although it's a fairly biblical principle. One of my favorite quotes from Star Wars was from Master Yoda, who said that fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. It's not the whole biblical story, but it is true. Think about times when in your life when you have been afraid. Take a moment and try to think of some times where you were afraid. Because we've all been afraid, right? We've all been afraid. What were some times that where you were afraid? This is a question I asked to the kids last night, and they were very forthcoming. Some were even afraid to be there. They didn't know anybody and came up from Missouri, and they stated their fear, which was great because they weren't fearful by the end of the night. So when I got home and I was trying to put some of this together, I started thinking, well, what were some times in my life when I was fearful? And there were three times that kind of came right to my mind. I know there's a lot of other times where I was fearful. When I was a small child, I was afraid of a lot of different things. But the first thing that kind of came to my mind is I was fearful when my mom died. I was 30 years old. Maybe I shouldn't have been afraid, but that now to me seems really young, and now I understand why I was afraid. You know, when your parents leave, it's, you know, that they have always been there. So it was a fearful thing to know what would happen to our family. You know, what might be the case with that. A couple years ago, Shay was with Grandpa Bruce at Eminence, and they were in a canoe, and it all returned in some deep, troubling water. And I had real fear there. I couldn't see him. He went underwater. It seemed like 3 minutes. It was probably like 3 seconds, but it was very fearful of when I saw that happen. And last year, Ginger went in the hospital, and I did a lot of praying. I was very fearful. What would happen if she couldn't come out of this? And I started thinking about all those fears, and it's kind of strange because in all three situations, I had confidence in their salvation. I knew they'd be in a place that would be better than this. So what was the fear about? Well, the fear was about myself. That's what fear generally is about. Fear was about myself. People would figure out that I'm not very impressive when my wife's not here. People are going to see that she is what does things for me. And how would I feel when my mom died or if I lost my child? How would I be able to cope with those things? Those were the fears that I had. They were all about myself and about how it would affect me. That's what fear does to us. And it can be debilitating. It can really cause you to not move forward and follow God. Faith or fear lowers our faith so that we can't see the big picture that God can see. And so we need to have faith in him so that he can open our eyes to let us see that he will be there for us and to not be fearful, but to be strong and courageous. You know, the Lord didn't usually work with strong and courageous people in the Bible. Sometimes we think he did. Oh, they were, you know, the men in the Bible, they're strong and courageous. No, they weren't. In fact, they hardly ever were, right? God worked with weak and fearful people. He worked with weak and fearful people, and he turned them into strong and courageous people. So that when we look back on it, we think they were strong and courageous. But most of the stories, if you look at them really closely, they started with weak and fearful people, because that's what we are. We're humans, and we're weak, and we're fearful. And God can fix that for us. God can fix that for us. I'd like to go through some examples that I took the kids through last night. There's so many examples, and it's hard to just kind of limit it, but I'm limited time, so we're just going to kind of go through a few. Even the one that I read this morning, Zechariah, remember it said he was afraid, right? He said, don't be afraid, right? This is going to, be okay. That God can provide, strength. I want to look first at Moses, and I want to look in the book of Exodus. I'm not going to read all these stories, but I want to just kind of remind us some, we're all very familiar with some of these stories. And in Exodus, chapter 3, Moses sees the burning bush, and he goes there, and he's talking to God, and God has a plan for Moses. God says, I want you to go to the country, Egypt, the one that you ran away from because you were afraid. I want you to go back there, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, not just the king of Egypt, the king of the world at that time. I want you to tell him that my people are going to leave, and you're going to lead them out of there. And this is what he tells Moses. Why did he choose Moses? Was Moses a really brave person? Was Moses strong and courageous? What was Moses' response? There's five verses that I want to look at. He responded five times to God. Shows the patience of God. We'll start in verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Why are you asking me to do this? What can I do? There's nothing. I can do nothing here. Who am I that you would ask me? You got the wrong person, right? God made a mistake here, right? God made a mistake. You need to find someone else. It's not me. God explains, I will be with you. This will be the sign to you that it is I who I have sent with you. And when you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And then we go to verse 13. This wasn't good enough for Moses. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? No, they're not going to believe me. Who should I tell them is sending me? Verse 1 in chapter 4, Moses answered, well, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What if they mock me that I'd seen God? They don't believe me that I'd seen God. I want to go tell them that I've seen God, and they're going to make fun of me that I said that. Verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Now, a lot of times we look at that and we kind of say, well, yeah, that's, you know, Moses had some speech impediment or something like that. But is that true? But was Moses not a good orator? Was Moses not a good speaker? I see no evidence of that as we go through the scriptures. Moses is usually always doing the talking. And God, yes, God says here, here's your brother Aaron. He's eloquent. He can speak. He can do it. And then we go through the rest of the story, and sometimes Aaron does get up, and he ends up being the high priest and gets up and speaks. But most of the time, it wasn't Aaron. Most of the time, it was Moses. In fact, one time when Aaron got up and spoke, he led the people astray. Right? Moses was a good speaker. Moses became, at least he became, a very good speaker. Even in the history of our world, people that don't even believe in all these things list Moses as one of the great orators in the history of the world. So I tend to kind of look at this a little differently than I used to look at it in the past. He's making an excuse. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't do what you need me to do. You need somebody else. And then in verse 13, he actually, you know, he's all his excuses are over and he just blatantly says, but Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. I don't want to do this. Send someone else to do it." And then, of course, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He is God. He is God. He knows what he's doing. He chose you. And he chooses us to do things. And we can be weak and fearful, and we are going to be weak and fearful. But he can change us. He can change us. We go to Deuteronomy 30. So this is the beginning of Moses' journey. And then if we go to Deuteronomy 31, this is at the end of everything. He's about ready to die. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. Let's see what God has done for him. "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.' Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" He's 120 now. Has he learned some things? This is a completely different person. And he's passing it on. He's telling the children of Israel, and he tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord will never forsake you." How did Moses know that? Because Moses questioned that a lot back in Exodus 3, right? How did he know that? Because the Lord was faithful in his promises. He didn't forsake Moses. He was faithful in this, and Moses now realizes. Now it takes him to the end of his life, and it's going to take a lot of us to the end of our life before we grow and we realize we don't need to be fearful. We can be strong and courageous in the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Moses has now died, and then God reinforces what Moses says to Joshua. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. "After the death of Moses, servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea to the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is the promise that God makes to us, not just to Joshua. He makes this promise to us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. God is going to be with us wherever we go. He will not forsake us if we put our faith and our trust in him. If we go to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. This is the story of a judge named Gideon. Most of us, I think, remember this story also. And I'm going to start in verse 12. "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Mighty warrior. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. So God comes into a person who clearly is weak. And he says, mighty warrior. He's trying to build him up right from the beginning. What does Gideon do? I don't think God's with us. I think he is forsaking us. Look at us, the state that we're in. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength you have. You are strong. You can be strong. Do what I'm telling you. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. It just lines up with what Moses was talking about, right? Gideon says, I'm from the tribe of Manasseh. We're the lowest clan in that whole tribe, and I'm the lowest person in my family in that lowest clan in the whole tribe. I can't do this. I'm just a lowly person. There's nothing that I can do. And why is that? Why is the fear? The fear is because who's he focusing on? He's focusing on, I can't do it. But who's with him? That's what God says. Am I not sending you? I am the one sending you. No fear. It doesn't matter how weak you are. I'm the one sending you. You can do everything if God is the one that's sending you. Gideon asked to return and offer a sacrifice, and the angel allowed him to do that. And then he realized that he had been talking. He realized that this was the angel of the Lord. In verse 22, when Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. That's fear is what happened right there. That's fear. 23, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it the Lord is peace. Gideon isn't strong and courageous yet. Remember, we're not going to read through the whole rest of the story, but you remember the story? Gideon, he keeps testing God, right? If you're really, you wanted me to do this, then, you know, he laid out the fleece, the lamb's wool on the ground. He said, put dew on the wool, but not on the ground. And God did it, right? And then he said, okay, well, one more thing. Suffer me one more thing. But do on the ground and not on the fleece. And if I got that backwards, it was one, you know, back and forth. He was testing God. And God, still, like you did with Moses, patience, 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 right? Trying to build his confidence. And then in the seventh chapter, if you remember, there was 32,000 men he had in his army. And still Gideon was scared, right? And then what did the Lord do? The Lord took it down, right? And if we look, and I do want to read this particular verse. Verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that their own strength was what saved her. Announce to the people, anyone who trembles with fear, like literally trembles with fear, can turn back. 22,000 men left. 22,000 men actually trembled with fear. And now we're down to 10,000. People are afraid. People are afraid. And then God said, that's still too much. And then we had this test on whether they got water like this or they actually bent all the way down and on their knees to get the water. And God used a test and he separated them down to 300 men, only 300 men. I'm not sure if this is really building Gideon's confidence, right? And God knew it. Because God knows us. God knows us. He's working on us. We don't understand how he's working on us. I'm sure Gideon had questions like, I'm afraid already, and now I have 300 people that you're going to take with me. And in down to in 12, 13, it says that God knew that Gideon was afraid. And so do you remember what he did? He said, if you're still afraid, go down, sneak down into the Midianites' camp, and just sneak in there and you'll hear something. And he went down in there. What did he hear? He heard someone that had a dream. And he was telling his friend about this dream. And his friend said, I know what your dream means. It was a dream of a loaf of bread rolling down the hill and crushing the tents of the Midianites. And his friend says, that loaf of bread is Gideon. And the Lord is behind him. And we're going to be annihilated. That's what. And Gideon overheard that dream. And then what did he do? He went back to the camp and he says, everybody rise up. And he had confidence and he was courageous and he was strong because God allowed him to hear that. God provided what he needed to be able to give him the courage to be able to do this. God can provide these things. 2 Kings 6, this is probably my favorite example of how we need to not be fearful and be strong and courageous and know that God is actually with us. Let's see, I'm going to read in verse 8. Now the king of, I'm going to summarize this so we don't have to take too much time. It was the king of Syria and he was going to war with Israel. And he would tell his army, we're going to camp here, we're going to camp there. And every single time, like they were going to attack Israel, Elisha, who is the man of God, would know about it because God would tell him where they were going to be. And so he'd go tell the king of Israel, said, don't go down there because the king of Syria is going to try to attack you from down there. And the king of Syria said, who's spying on us? How does everybody know what we're doing at all times? And in verse 12, I'll read that because I love that verse. None of us, my lord, the king, we're not spies, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you're speaking in your bedroom. In your privacy, he knows what you're doing because he's a man of God. And Elisha goes and tells the king of Israel to not do this. So it made him really, really angry. And so he goes and he tries to attack Israel. And it says, when the servant of the man of God, and so this is Elisha's servant, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded this city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That's what he tells the servant, but the servant's not going to believe that because I look at all these people and there's no one with us. All these people, this whole army has come up against us. And Elisha prays and says, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Can you imagine? I love that. Can you imagine what that would have been like? When you think, oh, I'm so fearful. Look at all this thing that's up against me. And if your eyes could be opened, see that enormous army behind them, would it boost your confidence? Could you be strong and courageous when you see the army of God, the chariots of fire, right there behind that other army, right there ready to take care of you? What an amazing thing. And Elisha allowed the servant to see what Elisha knew was there because Elisha had faith that God is there. And that's our problem, why we have the fear, is because sometimes we can't see those things that are right there ready to take care of us. And we need to be able to see those things. There was a lot of other examples, and I'm not going to go to a lot of them, but what we had the students do last night was we had three really good examples all in the book of Daniel. We divided them up and they actually acted them out and did plays and they were hilarious. And hopefully I'll have time maybe today and put them and you'll be able to view some of those. But one was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? What courage there. You know, maybe God doesn't save us, but we're not going to bow down to you. Amazing courage. We had Daniel in the lion's den, about the courage to continue to pray to God, even though he knew he was going to be thrown into the lions. What courage that was. And encouraged Daniel later when he goes and has to tell the king, your kingdom is going to end tonight. Had to tell him bad news. You don't want to tell a king bad news. And so they acted out all those plays, and they were really good, and they did a good job on their demonstrating the strength and courage that the Lord had given those men. But there's all kinds of examples. And in Hebrews 11, 32 through 40, and what more shall I say? I do not have time. And I don't have time. That's why I'm reading this verse. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. This is what God did. God turned their weaknesses into strength. And this wasn't just for these men that we read about in the Bible. God still equips us today. God equips us today to be strong and courageous. I quoted Master Yoda. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. That's Star Wars. That's not the Word of God. The Word of God tells you how to get back from that. But we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to character. Character leads to hope. That's the rest of Master Yoda's quote, quoted by Paul. Our suffering, even though we suffer, we have fear in our lives and it's going to cause us suffering. That's not the end. That's not the end. That suffering, the persecution that we feel, it can increase our faith if we let it. And God, with our increased faith, can give us hope, right? I won't go on to a new hope, but it is. It's a hope that we can have, right, if we put our faith in Him. God equips us with what we need. And we read about how He equips us in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. God equips us with what we need. God can provide. God can take away our fears. God can help us be strong and courageous. I had a big fear a long time ago of coming forward and repenting of my sins for years, just frightened to death to get out of that pew. If someone would have thrown me out of that pew, I would have just went flying up to the front. But that first step, so frightening for me. I don't know why, but it was. Until I had another fear that trumped that fear. It was a fear of dying in a state of sin and not being saved. And that fear trumped my other fear and actually gave me some courage to accept the Lord. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do that. If that meant I have to start talking to people, you know, I was shy, I was bashful. I know people don't believe that. I was desperately, painfully shy. I didn't want to go talk to people. That God can provide you with the strength and the courage that you need. Psalm 27:1, I'll leave you with this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We ask that you be strong and courageous as we stand and as we sing.